Well, good morning, everybody. Actually, it's 10 seconds past morning here on the East Coast. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. On the 29th of June, 2021, we have a lovely show for you today. We've got from Baltimore area, Bethesda, I got those B cities in Maryland mixed up, Bethesda, Maryland, okay, I've got Cara Lesser, who is the founder and executive director of KID, Kid Museum. She founded a museum just like Joseph Smithson and like Teddy Roosevelt with the Museum of Natural History. How many people do you know actually founded a museum? So I'm thrilled to have Cara here. It's the Kid Museum. It's kid-museum.org. She's going to tell us all about that. And they believe in maker learning and invention education. I know maker, I have an idea what invention education is, but we're going to learn more, and we're going to learn more from a very interesting person, just as Cara is. Okay, Dave Coronado is with us. He is the program officer for invention education at Lemelson Foundation. And you might know Lemelson. I knew them when I first saw my sheet here because they also support, I see their name every night on PBS NewsHour. So they do great work out there. Dave works in the invention education area and STEM and all that sort of thing. Obviously, they work with Cara, and we're going to talk about all this in 2 minutes. I just want to remind you to go over to our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Enjoy our magazine called Equity in Access. Everything we do is free, and every podcast, including this one, is over there. So check it all out over at ace-ed.org. And now, without further ado, let me bring on my two guests. I should have pumped this before. Start ladies first. Hi, Cara. It's Larry.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Cara. Believe me, it's my pleasure. I have this odd feeling we'll be doing more together. And you, and Mrs. Smithson, Mrs. Roosevelt, and now Cara Lesser. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed. Okay?
You're making me smile. It's making me smile on radio.
Okay. It's unbelievable. So let me ask Dave. Dave, have you ever founded a museum? Dave Coronado, really?
I have never founded a museum. It's amazing.
There you go. There you go. So Cara Lesser is not the lesser. She is the higher of my two guests. Is that right? Dave, 9 in the morning out in Oregon. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. How's your heat wave? We're in the middle of that heat wave out there. How you doing?
Oh goodness. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. I think people are frying eggs and bacon on their decks these days.
Well, it's bad out there. This is at like 110 today or something? And of all places, Portland, Seattle, British Columbia. It's not, you stay safe, my friend. This heat is not fun. And Cara, it's always hot as hell in Maryland this month. So, right, what are we going to do? All right. I'm going to put these two things in perspective here, okay? And I'm going to ask a funny question, and then we'll go in. Dave, what does Lemelson have to do with Kid Museum? Go for it. I want to establish that connection. Go for it. Dave?
Yes. Well, the Lemelson Foundation, you know, we're very focused on invention, and part of our pathway is building leaders of tomorrow, including inventors. So starting in that early age to middle school, high school, college, all the way up into adult entrepreneurship business. But we look at the Kid Museum. We think about what does Cara have done. It's created a new opportunity to really focus on working on youth in the community who are low income, who are looking for opportunities and new ways of teaching and learning. And that's why we've invested in Cara and in the Kid Museum.
God bless you. I got to tell you, man, that is just great. I mean, you know, and you guys do great work. And by the way, if you go over to Lemelson.org, which is the website, just so you know this, Dave's the program officer for invention education. The first word on the website is invention. Okay, so I think you got job security there, Dave. I wouldn't worry about that. Okay, that's the first word. Giant invention. Right, so we're good there. Okay, Cara. Okay, I'll say it again. You founded the museum. Is it in Bethesda? Am I right?
We're in Bethesda, Maryland. Although we do work all over the community.
And this is going to be my question. I want to make sure of this. Mm-hmm. It's a physical space on Democracy Avenue, right? Am I right?
Correct. Yeah, we have a physical space. We're in normal times. We are programming during the week as well as weekends. We have programs that are connected with the schools during the school day, as well as after school and weekend family programs.
And
obviously, over the past year and a half, there's been a lot of virtual programming,
yeah.
but normal
but that's
going to
change.
In person.
But your building is physical, and kids and teachers can go there, and parents and all. Okay, I wanted
Absolutely.
To make sure of that because I know there's a lot.
It's
and
a
obviously
maker space for kids.
Yeah, it is, and it's also an invention space for kids. Which we're going to be talking about. Okay, now, 2 minutes, tell me about the history of the museum, which you founded in 2011. That's 10 years ago. Mazel tov, 10th anniversary. Congratulations.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think as David was referring to, the whole impetus for creating Kid Museum was to create more space for kids to develop their creative problem solving and invention skills. So it's designed as a hands-on experiential learning space, and it really reads as a makerspace. You walk in and it's a workshop for kids with digital and non-digital, old school kind of tools and materials. So we have a wood shop, we have a textile studio, but we also have an electronics lab and 3D printers and all kind of new technologies for kids to design and make things with. It's really a space for kids to design and create.
And what were you? What are you? What'd you come up with this? I mean, you founded a museum. It's like not everybody. Probably ask again, Dave, do you know anybody else founded a museum? Dave?
No, I have not.
Thank you. Kara, this is like... So you woke up one morning, say, I'm founding a museum?
Some people go out and buy a red Corvette, right? But
yeah.
I had the right. first...
right. Who needs a red Corvette when you can do
years,
this?
Right.
Wow.
Right. So, really felt like we needed to create some space, more space for kids to develop this creative problem solving, and that we need this as a community space. We needed spaces for kids and families to gather to have meaningful interactions around learning. And like all things, it came from a professional and a personal space for me. I was working in the world of health policy for 20 plus years before creating KID. And felt like as in that professional space, we needed more creative breakthroughs. We needed more creative courage to really break through the problems that we were wrestling with of how to reform what healthcare looks like in this country. And that was pre-pandemic and pre-lots of layers of problems that we've experienced. Yeah. And on the personal note, I have two children, two daughters. At that point, they were transitioning from the world of preschool into more formal learning settings.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised at what they were getting and not getting in school.
Yeah. Wow.
So those things came together to spur the creation of KID.
Most people just complain to the principal. I really got to hand it to you. You founded a museum. This is really amazing. I got to tell you, you're like a human action figure. You're unbelievable. Okay, is there like a Carl Lesser action figure in the gift shop?
Yeah, that's we do not have that yet, but I'll suggest it to some of our kids. The 3D
there should be.
Take that on.
Yeah, really. I
we'll
mean, you like. This is amazing. I'm amazed.
You're
all right, now
kind.
I want to go back
well,
to Dave.
It has been
quite a team effort.
All amazing things, it has been a large team that has made this happen. We have an incredible team of educators and an incredible board that has really been the brain power to move this work forward.
Well, it's astounding. And one other thing before I go back to Dave. You're in Bethesda, Maryland. You're serving the community around Washington, D.C., which many
Correct.
Of those communities have great needs for the kids, lower income. You can go right down that list, okay? But we're talking nationally today, and Dave, as I mentioned, is in hotter than heck, Portland, Oregon. Let's say a teacher's listening to us today, they're in Nebraska. Can they tap into the expertise of your museum from other places? How do you want that to go over?
Absolutely. So the work that we're doing, really, we've had this opportunity to kind of pioneer what maker learning looks like in collaboration with schools as well as in community settings. And, you know, that work we are very interested in helping to share nationally with other organizations and individuals interested in supporting more of this, you know, access to this type of learning for students. So we have extensive teacher professional development that we've developed to support teachers in how they can implement this in their classroom. That's something that we've had the opportunity to collaborate with the Lemelson Foundation on how we really fine-tune what teacher professional development looks like. And over this, you know, the past 15, 16 months, all of the work we've been doing has been through virtual learning. Mm-hmm. So we have now an incredible library of both synchronous programs as well as asynchronous content to support maker learning, again, in the classroom and outside of the classroom.
Your website is wonderful, and kid-museum.org, kid-museum.org, everybody, okay, and really tap into this. It's incredible. David, Mr. Coronado, everybody knows, and I'm talking to professional educators here, everybody knows maker learning, maker spaces. We're going to get into that in more detail, but you're got another term that we're going to get on, and that is invention education. And as mentioned, invention is seems to be the key word at the Lemelson Foundation. Dave, your program officer over there, talk about what is invention education. And if you want to, you can just segue right into how they're doing it over at Kid Museum, but however you want to handle it. Ladies and gentlemen, David Coronado. Hopefully in air condition. even at 10 after 9 and then, in the morning.
I think yesterday was the mother of invention because my air conditioner actually cut out and had to figure out how to fix it. Well, I think, you know, invention education really is, it's around teaching those 21st century skills using the invention process. Students find problems they care about and they use the invention process to solve them. I think in terms of like, there's a lot of similarities to engineering and even maker. And I think the biggest difference between maker and invention education is just there's a lot more tinkering and making, and there's a lot of form of personal expression through art. Invention gets down to technological solutions using a strong base of STEM knowledge that students take and learn every day to solve a real problem they care about. For example, at a school, there was a school in New York. These kids were late to school every day because they took the subway, and they found out, after all this extensive interviews, they found out they were late every day because there was always fires in the subway tunnels because there was trash on that third rail. So they because their teachers were upset with them. Why are you late all the time? Well, they live further out from school. So they designed this robotic system where behind the train or behind on the track, it would actually suck up all the trash and clean it, and it wouldn't require personnel so that the tracks would stay clear. Kids could get to school and people could get to work on time. And so invention education helps students identify problems in the real world. A lot of times we're telling them what problems to solve for. But we're teaching in a world where we don't know where the problems are tomorrow, but we need for them to figure it out and be able to solve them in a way through the invention process and also using entrepreneurship wrapped in. We all know that there's some great inventions out there, but they don't go to market for a reason. And so we incorporate IP education, entrepreneurship education, even the making and building and designing using the invention process to get to that final goal of solving that problem.
Great stuff, I got to tell you. And it reminds me, you know, when you said kids invented this, the New York subway directors knew the fires were on the tracks. They knew there was trash on the third rail, okay, which is the electrified rail, all right, that powers the train. And for the last 100 years, they did nothing about it, but maybe collect the trash or put out the fire. All right, and it takes kids, okay, and open minds, okay, to make things work and see things differently. Because we say think outside the box, but kids haven't created the box yet. I'm saying kids, young people, okay? Mm-hmm. The box isn't created like it is for us, all right? You know, if we can tap into that, because we're always saying how we're training kids to do jobs that we don't even know what the jobs are, all right? But the kids know. They can kind of figure it out, okay? We're the wrong ones, okay? We got to let them open their minds. That's why I love what you guys are doing. That was my official lecture for the day. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
You're right. You're very much.
I am right. And I'll tell you something. There's a great science fiction story called Mimsy Were the Borogroves, the old nonsense verse by, I think, Lewis Carroll. Okay? And it's a great science fiction story about exactly that, how kids have an open mind. Short story. Okay? And it's I always think of that when something like this comes up. It's just amazing. Mimsy Where the Boar Grows. Trust, we adults cannot understand those words. Kids can. That's the whole point of the whole thing. All right? And it's just great. Talk about the idea, and I'll swing back to Cara. Cara, it's been a rough 18 months, okay? Yeah. Talk about how your museum worked over the last 18 months, not only with teachers around Washington, but everywhere, okay? What changes happened, et cetera?
Well, I mean, it was, obviously a huge challenge for an organization like ours, that all of our work is focused on hands-on experiential learning. And, our educators, just rose to the occasion and lived all the values of our maker mindset to figure out.
I was just
going to
say, it's exactly right.
Right.
Yes.
We had not done any virtual programming before the pandemic, and just started experimenting with what we could do when you can't hand kids a drill and you can't put them in front of a scroll saw and have, 3D printers that for them to get excited about seeing in person, right? So we had to translate all of that into the virtual. So we really focused primarily on synchronous learning programs, cool, where we were, really making sure that it was a very personalized and focused teacher-led experience, right? There's a lot of asynchronous, and we did put some asynchronous content out also, but we really felt like what kids were craving was that connectedness, and that was what our educators focused on, how to create that environment of a classroom in a synchronous, virtual experience.
Yeah.
So we would have small groups. We would have two educators in every room. We really felt like the teachers needed to support each other in activating the learning, and it allowed you to kind of divide and conquer as you needed to, but also really have that personalized approach. And for so many kids, it was just a lifeline to have a creative outlet and be able to continue to pursue learning in a way that was meaningful to them.
Thank you.
We were running programs that were after school, out of school time,
mm-hmm.
and that official out of school time, but also embedded in classrooms and helping to support the teachers and have, learning come alive during this really, really intense time. I think that's really one of the most powerful things to me about Maker and invention education, is that it really integrates that social emotional experience and the social emotional learning with the technical STEM skills, and it's a very natural way of learning, but it's kind of like when I observe our educators, I feel like I'm watching like an Olympic ice skater on ice. It looks so easy, you know. There's a lot of intentionality and planning, but it's like it feels really natural. And that's, I think, part of what engages kids in it. It's a natural way of learning and exploring their own interests, but then they are powering their own learning in the process.
That about says it all. I love the way you said that. Thank you. You know, when you brought up something, when the kids, and I think Dave brought it up earlier, and I just want to focus on this. I think you heard me say at the beginning, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we're at a-ed.org, and our magazine is over there. This podcast, again, will be archived over there, et cetera. Please, guys, everybody go over, check it out at a-ed.org. And I think it was David at the beginning, okay, who said how important important what he does and what the Kid Museum does is for the equity side of things, especially for kids who may be in a lower socioeconomic situation, okay, whatever the case may be. Let me swing back to Dave. Dave, is there an equity side to what we're doing here and an accessibility to learning side to what we're doing here, what you guys are doing and supporting at Lemelson?
Very much so. Everything we're doing is through an equity, diversity, and inclusive lens, because the reality is that lower-income communities, I grew up in a low-income community, people like me, people of color, all kids who are low-income in these schools are being left out of opportunity to really think in the way they want to think, right? We're often said, you got to learn this, teaching, you know, not teaching, but you got to learn literature. But the reality is that students are trying to find problems they care about. You talk to anyone, they want to solve things they care about. They're not interested in some of the way the education is being presented to them today. So we see it through equity lens, where when students are able to find problems they care about and solve them, they're engaged, they're learning, they're likely to stay in school, they're less likely to get referrals. They're there to learn because now they know why they want to learn and need to learn. And so I think that's what we're trying to focus on, is to bring that opportunity to every youth.
And we can do that. Yeah, across the board. Go ahead, Cara, please. You were going to say something?
No, I was just going to echo how really this type of learning, I think, again, it taps into just such a natural way of following your curiosity and being supported in driving your own learning. And it's really empowering for all kids, and I think especially important to ensure that, you know, that the focus is on ensuring that students from under-resourced communities have access to this type of learning to really discover that sense of capability and agency in that, you know, there's so many barriers, systemic barriers that are in place that they need to be able to see past that. And as a society, we need to create structures and supports to ensure that every student has opportunity to see and live that full creative potential.
Dave, did you want to add to that? I just heard you say mutter something. Dave.
No, that's exactly what we're trying to work on.
Yeah.
Because we need all youth to use their creative potential. We got some big problems to solve in our U.S. and around the world, and if we're not activating every corner of our country, we're doing a disservice to our country and to our kids.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We can't afford to lose kids, and that's actually what we're doing. Okay? And I always think back.
Yeah.
This is something I never thought about when I was a kid. I went to school all through in Philadelphia, all right? And I remember in high school, okay, the school, Overbrook High, all right, which was about 80% African-American, all right? And we were all together at homeroom. This was a huge school, 5,000 kids, okay, high school, all right? We were all together in homeroom. This is one of the most amazing things, as I always think back on it. When homeroom ended, most of the African-American kids I never saw again all day. They weren't in my classes because my classes were for college-bound kids. I'm talking about a long time ago now. But my point is that was a foregone conclusion. They weren't stupid. We weren't any smarter than they were. Okay? But it was built-in inherent, if I may, racism of some sort, okay, that caused that, all right? And we can't afford that anymore because a lot of those people had a lot more to offer than what they eventually gave, okay, because we gave up before they even started, okay? It's that simple, okay? It's that simple. I know, you know, you don't think about it when you're a kid, but looking back on it when I have these discussions, it's so important. And Cara, as you run your museum, which is, again, amazing, the Kid Museum, is it the Kid or just Kid? What do you like? I don't know how to say this.
Kid. Just Kid. We call it Kid Museum.
Is that an acronym, by the way?
It is.
Yes.
And it's an acronym for Kids Innovation and Discovery Museum.
Thank you.
That's why we usually drop the anyway.
Okay, good. And I was figuring that, but thank you for that. And by the way, that is exactly what education needs, another acronym. We don't.
That's a right. place where we probably have not added to the greater good. Sorry for that. Yeah.
It's an acronym you can read, right?
Kara,
you're going to, regardless of the acronym, I can tell you right now you're going to heaven. Okay, don't worry about that. Dave, maybe, but you, definitely. All right, so, okay, there's no problem.
Dave,
okay.
definitely.
We'll find out if miraculously his air conditioner starts to work again. We'll find out over the course of the next few days. Okay, see where he's going. Okay, as we talk about this, and again, Kid Museum has been around since 2011. Do you find that the under-resourced communities, the under-resourced schools, however you want to phrase it, are actually engaging with you guys? Okay, how's that working out?
Oh yeah,
talk about
We have fantastic engagement. You know, on a couple of levels. I mean, one, we have very strong relationships with our local school systems. And that's, you know, where we just have a shared priority to really focus on the populations that are often overlooked or left behind. So that's really enabling us to focus a good part of our school day programs on engagement with Title I and other under-resourced schools. So we have very, very deep programs with the schools. I know sometimes people hear museum and they think, oh, that means one field trip
schools?
And that's
you
it.
You said D.C., so, I know that, but is it Baltimore County? What are your local schools?
Montgomery County Public Schools, which is 165,000 school district. More kids on free and reduced meals in Montgomery County Public School, the entire DCPS system. So it's really a huge and really diverse school
bad
system.
Statistic.
Yeah.
I don't like that statistic.
Yeah, it is a sad statistic. The need, you know, has obviously become even more acute during this past year and a half. So we have, you know, through our partnerships with the schools, have students who come for a series of visits to the museum. Typically, it's between 4 to 6 two-hour visits where they're really developing skills around design engineering, fabrication, coding, electronics. Mm. So really some of the building blocks to design and make their own inventions. And then we have a curriculum that's embedded in the school day as well. So it really is connecting back into what's happening in the classroom. So it's an intensive program where kids have, multiple exposure points getting out of the classroom, but also changing what the teaching and learning looks like in their daily lives. And so that's a very, very deep, exposure with again, students, really prioritizing students in low-income communities. And that's only going to grow going forward. We're with Montgomery County Public Schools. We are a major partner in their COVID recovery plans.
We're going to talk about this. It's good.
Yeah, so focusing on the same populations there. And then, so those are our school programs. Out of school, likewise, we have community engagement, neighborhood events, as well as, large-scale festivals and people coming to the museum for workshops on the weekend, for family programs. So it's really trying to engage the whole family and not just the student in isolation and making it fun.
Good.
We have the challenge, and it has to be fun because everyone has to choose to do it. It's not just happening in school. So, really trying to make sure that we're reaching kids in school and out of school.
I think it's wonderful, and you just mentioned it's a beautiful segue to what I wanted to talk about. Post-COVID, okay, and learning now, all right? And Dave, I'm going to ask you about this too, but everybody always talks about, you guys actually wrote this to me when we set up the show, we talk about learning loss, all right? And my argument with that is that sometimes we mix up learning loss with curriculum loss. All right, and from everything you've described, you had kids learning all year. They may not have covered the curriculum perfectly, but they were learning and engaged.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that's an important distinction to make. Okay, so a lot of people simply call it, rather than learning loss, the other term is unfinished learning, which I like a little bit better. Okay, it's less harsh and I think more to the point. All right. So you just said you're going to be part of Montgomery County, Maryland's post-COVID plan, which is really cool. Okay. Talk about that. And then when you're done that, just swing it over to David, okay, and talk about how Lemelson is approaching this post-COVID education world. But first, Cara, go ahead. Post-COVID.
Okay, sure. So post-COVID, we really have partnered with the school system to look at exactly as you're saying, the kind of unfinished learning specific to math and science, and looking grade by grade to, look at what content has been dropped out of the curriculum this past year.
Mm-hmm.
What are the core building blocks that kids need to leapfrog forward, right? So this is not about remedial learning. It's really about making sure that kids have the basis they need to continue forward in their academic careers here. So grade by grade, looking at the math and science, unfinished learning, and then looking at maker learning and how we can connect the dots for kids through engaging maker learning experiences that's reinforcing that and helping kids to get back on track and, hopefully really have re-engaged in a love of learning. I think that's been a struggle for students and teachers alike this year,
right?
So getting everyone to get back to that place of learning can be fun and come from a place of
I'm going to say it a little bit differently. I don't want to get back there. I want to get to there. Okay.
Well, it's true, right? I mean, it was not exactly a perfect system before the pandemic
hit. We need to take
what
we've learned from the stinky pandemic, okay, and make changes for the better, okay? And I know you agree with that without question. And David, your thoughts on all this, okay, as we reimagine learning, how's Lemelson fit into this? I know you guys must be thinking about it.
No, we're definitely thinking about it. I mean, the unique opportunity with the foundation is we get to support a number of different program models across the country that are trying to attempt this. There's also a community called InventEd. There's made up of other government agencies, other museums, in-school providers that are also thinking through this.
Nice.
They're all InventEd education providers. We're really thinking about the opportunity. I think Cara had mentioned this. We're getting a lot of calls from school districts, even our programs that we support are getting these calls around, not only about this unfinished learning, but the passion of getting love back in learning, right? They're really concerned about some of these populations not engaging back with school if there's not a passion for that learning.
That's right.
So a lot of the programs are coming in, whether they're after school or in school, and supporting, just like Cara is doing, the school's efforts to not only teach science and engineering or math and literature, but trying to find new ways of teaching it. What was interesting during COVID is that a lot of times things that would never have been done in a classroom, now the opportunity was available because were scrambling to figure out new ways of doing it. And some of the schools were doing invention education, which is incorporating, like, students were presenting, they were talking online, they were writing, they were designing, iterating, out even at home. And they're trying to find new ways to bring that into the school. So they're wrapping in all the STEM content, the literature, all this together in a way that makes kids excited around solving problems and learning in a way that makes them more engaged. So that's the opportunity, I think, is to, we opened up the door. Now it's not, we don't need to slam it back again. We need to really rethink about bringing these back in, what worked, what didn't work, and reinvesting in those that did.
Yeah, and we have to make changes because, believe me, we all know there were problems before the pandemic brought them forward. We can make these changes. Okay, and I'll just say,
exactly.
If some people have heard me say this before, everybody looks at the nationalization of the British healthcare system. They did that because after World War II, they didn't have a healthcare system. And instead of recreating the old one, they reimagined the new one, okay, where everyone was taken care of. And it's the same thing that we have to do, okay? So out of tragedy can come major, major changes. All right, and I want to talk about this as we're just kind of winding down here a little bit, okay? There's a new field guide to support invention education advocacy, and it may be coming from the group that David mentioned, the Invent Ed group. I believe the new field guide will be released soon, All right, and I think page one is how to repair a broken air conditioner. Would that be correct? I think it's a little self-serving. Okay, but
it's finding a problem you care about, number one.
Yes, exactly. Get engaged and then solve the problem, okay? All right, right. You're going to be like those guys here. I'm in Maine, okay? And you're going to be like those guys here when the snowstorm starts to go out to buy a shovel. Now you have to go out and buy an air conditioner, okay? What can I tell you? You always see those guys in the news. Good luck with that. Talk about the field. David, I don't know if it's you or Cara. Talk about the field guide. Who is that? Cara or David?
Well, it's both of us. I can jump in.
Ladies first.
Jump in
go
and,
for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
So, yeah, this is a guide that the Kid Museum has collaborated with the Lemelson Foundation as well as a national organization called Nation of Makers. It really was born out of an amazing convening that the Lemelson Foundation hosts every year to really support the invention education movement. And, it was in those conversations that we said we need to think about how can we share what we know, the stories of the impact that this approach to education has, that we know it has on equity? How can we share those stories of impact and equity with more people to help spread the gospel and bring this to more kids? And so it really is intended as a guide to help people advocate effectively for invention and maker education, and think about how we can learn from one another, learn from the success stories, as well as, just all the different actors that are that need to come together to make the kinds of changes that you're talking about. So, how do we engage the policymakers as well as the district leaders and individual teachers and students to get involved in this kind of learning?
I hope we do again. And where will they be able to get that when it comes out? I know you're still putting the final touches on. Can you say
I think it is available both on our website and the Lemelson Foundation websites already. We just released it last week as part of the Nation of Makers National Conference. So it is available. It has case studies and there's a lot of qualitative research that's reported on in the field guide. So we're hoping that it's helpful to folks in the field who are trying to get more attention to this kind of learning.
That's great. Invent Ed Field Guide, which you could probably, everyone, Google. Invent Ed Field Guide, and it'll pop right up there. Again, rewind it down here. I'm just going to stick with Cara for a minute. Talk to school leaders, okay? Tell them what they have to do. Okay, to get real, I'm going to call it invention education rolling. Okay, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. And actually, should I ask you or David? Who should I ask on that one, Cara?
Yeah, well, David, would you like to start?
David, where'd he go?
Well, maybe we lost
David. I have him connected here. He's not.
Just a touch of glitch there. I apologize.
Yeah.
Dave, did you hear me? Did you hear us?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, apologize. The internet went out for a little bit. But two resources I'd love to point out for folks. We have educators and folks on the line. I'm a former educator, and like, talk is good, but what can I do on Monday, right?
Yeah.
So one of the resources, inventioneducation.org. We've been compiling a lot of research and information from all these programs. At inventioneducation.org, you can find two key pieces that I think are useful. One, there's a framework for invention education that really outlines the approach to invention. It's a new way of teaching and learning. It's not a program or a curricula. It's a whole new way of teaching and learning. And the framework really outlines the components of what is it that actually incorporates and how to go about doing it. The second piece on the website, which is curricula. There's curricula at all different grade levels from a variety of different programs across the country, even from international, around how do you do this. And it can be a one-hour introduction to it. It can be an entire year's worth of curricula or a delivery on this. So there's a lot of different models that folks can just download, and they're all open source, so free, no charge. And if there's also a lot of different programs that are listed there, if they want to learn more in their community and want to partner with someone on how to do it, they can find some folks there as well.
Great, super. I'll tell you, what you guys are doing is just absolutely fascinating to me. It really is, and I congratulate both of you on the continuing good work that you're doing. And maybe we could do more with our little consortium here and help you guys, because it has so much to do with equity and all that sort of thing. I really appreciate this. I really do.
So, yeah.
I would love it too. Okay, David, thanks a million, and really good luck with the air conditioner. Really.
Thank you so much, Larry, for this opportunity.
Yes, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And Cara, thank you. This is just great. Again, you're up there with Teddy Roosevelt and Joe Smithson. You founded a museum, and look what you're doing.
You're going to keep me laughing the whole way through.
And
thanks,
I'm telling you, the Cara Lesser action figure. The Cara Lesser action figure. And it can have a cape. You can even put a cape on it. Go ahead. Fly it. Okay. I'm telling you. Think about it. Well, something for the
kids. We'll take it under advisement.
I would do that with the board of directors. Don't actually be there for the meeting, though. Okay? That would be my best advice. All right? Both of you, take care. Stay cool if you can.
Right,
and we'll be talking again soon. Thank you, Cara. Thank you, Dave.
Right.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Take care.
Oh, my pleasure.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. What great people. Was that super or what? Okay. Cara Lesser. kid-museum.org. Just check it out, okay? They're in Maryland with national reach, kid-museum.org. And learn more about the Lemelson Foundation, lemelson.org. Good stuff, okay? And invention is the first word on the website, okay? It's really good stuff, invention education. I like it. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.